All righty. Genesis chapter 14, verse 13, the Bible says, one who had escaped, we're going to talk about what was going on, but basically Lot has been taken, Abraham's nephew has been taken, and one who had escaped came and reported this to Abram the Hebrew. Now Abram was living near the great trees of Mamre the Amorite, a brother of Eshcol and Aner, all of whom were allied with Abram. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out the 318 trained men born in his household, and he went in pursuit as far as Dan. Dan is a city, not a man. During the night, Abram divided his men to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. He recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions together with the women and the other people. After Abram returned from defeating Kedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is, the king's valley. Lord, we come to you this morning knowing that you are mighty and awesome. And Lord, knowing that you have a call upon each one of us, Lord, and that it can be a challenge to respond. Lord, as we study the life of Abraham and we talk about the ability, the growing faith that happens in Abram's life and the ability for that faith to grow in us, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would show us the path that you have before us. And we'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, I have shared many times, and even recently, how I was on the street. I mean, I wasn't homeless or anything, but I was walking down the street in Sacramento, and I gave my life to the Lord. I have not talked about, well, you know, referenced the alcohol abuse and the personal depravity and just the stuff that had been going on in my life. And I will talk about that more at length tomorrow night at Celebrate Recovery. Great program that we got going on, and I'm excited about that. But I had come to the end of myself, and I said, Lord, you can have my life. I have destroyed it. And amazingly, the Lord took it. You know, and I'm like, hallelujah. God is good, and I share that with you because, and we talk about the lostness, and we talk about coming to, maybe you can relate. Have you come to that point of just lostness, and the only thing left is the Lord? See, I found faith in Sacramento, and we are talking about finding faith in Abram's life, and we see, as we go through, we're going to go through all of chapter 14 today, we're going to see a radical transformation in the life of Abram. Because last week in Egypt, he was the man who found God's purpose, God's place for him, and there was famine in the land, and he went down to Egypt. And on the way into Egypt, he turns to his wonderful wife, Sarai, and says, hey, hon, let's tell them you're my sister. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he says, that way I'll be treated well on account of you. Not a high point. Lisa and I have never had that conversation. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. You know, not only did Abraham let it happen, but Sarai is destined to be married to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is paying off Abram. Problem there. And I got to think that Abram has come to a point of crisis. Hopelessness. Helplessness. And God miraculously comes to the rescue. He sends disease. Say disease, would you?
Disease.
Doesn't it just sound bad when you say it? Oh, disease. Now, and the disease that God sends, probably not going to be a cold. Oh, we all got a cold. Don't think, can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
I'm thinking it's just some heinous disease. Now, God sent diseases to actually festering wounds to the Philistines. When they had taken the Ark of the Covenant, he sent, boils. Many of you say, he sent hemorrhoids. Now, how'd you like to have the whole country breaking out with festering hemorrhoids? Oh, yeah, that'll just, you want to get to the line to get that preparation H, amen? It's all gone. What do we do? All right. Here we go. Back. My wife's going, what are you doing? But God sends disease, and he lays it at the feet of Abram. Pharaoh is Pharaoh, man. I mean, he's got all the Egyptian army and everything, right? And God says, I sent this disease. It is not in the text. Pharaoh comes to know that the disease that he has received is on account of Abram. And he goes to Abram, what have you done? Why did you tell me she was your sister? And he leaves. You know, now, there is an element of protection that is involved in that saving of Sarai, because it would have been so easy for Pharaoh just to kill Abram. You're dead, buddy. I got this because of you. Can you see that happening easy? And so God steps in, and Abram leaves Egypt, right? And I think that he leaves in disgrace. I mean, I can get a feel for that. I mean, all the people, well, did you see what Abram did with Sarah? Gave her up to Pharaoh, man. Look at all those, he got paid. I don't want that going on in my home. So Abram leaves, probably not on the top of his game. We come to chapter 14, and Lot is taken. And if you know the story, Lot has pitched his tents towards Sodom. And he's thinking, you know what? He deserves to be taken. That's bad. You know, he's over there aligned with Sodom, and you know what goes on in Sodom. Bad. Lot should be taken. But if anybody should be taken, it should be Abram too. He gave up his wife and got paid. All you ladies said, that's bad. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And so it's like, what? But Abram responds in a radically different way in chapter 14. He comes to the rescue in chapter 13. He's a changed man. Abram has settled in Hebron. God has put the call on his life. Way back before all this happened, Lord God said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household. Go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. That sounds good, right? You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. Read that with me. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And finally, Abram and Lot have separated. God has reaffirmed his call on Abram's life. He said, everywhere you see, I'm going to give to you. Go walk the land. It's all yours. And he walks the land, and he ends up in Hebron. I got a map to show you about that a little bit later. And he builds an altar to the Lord. A changed man. We're going to take a look and see how that has happened. Amen? Are we good? Amen. Are we tracking?
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Challenges reveal the change. I don't know. Have you been changed by the Lord? Amen. Anybody? Yeah. I'll tell you what. You say, I've been changed by the Lord. The challenges of your life are going to bring that to the forefront. The challenges of your life are going to reveal what God is doing inside of you. And as we read in chapter 14, there is some challenges that are coming right at Abram, and we're going to find out how he responds. Okay, I got some hard names I'm going to share for you. I got a map. I'm going to show you who these people are. At that time, King Amraphel, king of Shinar. Shinar is the same as Babylon. Okay? So we're talking about some Babylonian kings. The king of Shinar, Arioch, the king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and Tidal, the king of Goyim, went to war against Bera, king of Sodom, Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, the king of Admah, Shemeber, the king of Zeboiim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar. All these latter kings joined forces in the valley of Siddim, that is the Salt Sea. The Babylonians come a-calling. All right, a lot of names. As you go through the next three or four verses, there's a whole lot of more names and a lot of geography. This is what we're talking about here. All these kings come from Babylonia, okay? Some call proto-Babylon, early Babylon, all right? It kind of changes over the years. This is way early. It's like 2000 BC. And what they do is they all get lined up, and they are going to come destroying, killing, raping, and taking slaves all the way down over here on the eastern side of the Jordan. All right? And it's because they used to pay tribute, taxes, whatever. They used to pay them not to come and destroy them. All right? You owe us money. Says for 13 years they paid. And on the 14th year they said, we're not paying anymore. Right? And so they come, and this guy Chedorlaomer, he gets some buddies, and they all got arms and said, hey, next spring we're going to go raiding. I got to put these people down. And how it worked was, is you bring your guys, and everything you take is yours. And they would take all the people, and they would be slaves, right? You sell the men, you could marry the women, you could take the women, you could do all kinds of pretty heinous stuff. Okay? And that is what is going on. And what happens is as they are doing this, they go down all the way to the Red Sea, come back up, and they loop around and they grab Lot. And they really gloss over it all. But it says they take Lot and they take all of his people, all the women, all their stuff, and they are going off to a life of slavery. Now, how would you like to have the Mexican government invade, or let's just say, did you see that big old drug lord got busted the other day? Yeah. So let's just say, you know, you got an invasion from Tijuana, some big old bunch of drug lord guys come up and take City Heights away in slavery. No. Down to work in the desert in salt mines in Mexico. It would be, what is this, man? I mean, we're walking, we're chained, we need water. That was what was going on. It was bad news, all right? All right. So, Abram comes to the rescue. This is what I read for you earlier. One who had escaped came. Escaped what? All this battle. Got away. Came and reported this to Abram the Hebrew. Now, Abram was living near the great trees of Mamre, the Amorite. Say Amorite. The brother of Eshcol and Anar, all of whom were allied with Abram. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out the 318 trained men. That word trained is only used in the Bible here. Okay? 318 trained men born in his household and went in pursuit as far as Dan. I got a map. I'll show you that in a minute. During the night, Abram divided his men to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. He recovered all the goods, brought back his relative Lot and his possessions together with the women and the other people. And so we see Abram coming to the rescue. Before we get into the battle, I want you to see how different Abram's situation is from Lot's. Because Lot has pitched his tent towards Sodom and has caught up in all this drama, and it would appear that Abram is camped out doing quite fine near the great trees of Mamre. All right? Not only is he camped out doing fine, he's made some friends. He's got not just any friends, he's got Amorite friends. Right? He's got three brothers, Mamre, Eshcol, and Aner. Right? and they are his friends, and he is living at peace, right? I will bless those who bless you. You see that promise of God coming through in the life of Abram. Now we have the invasion. And this is what it looks like. The guys come down the eastern, I'm going to walk over here, the eastern edge of the Jordan. They come down to the edge of the Red Sea, come back up to Kadesh, and they loop back around. They pick up Lot right in here. Now, they go all the way up to Dan. Dan is 120 miles. Now, after church, you guys are going up to Riverside or San Bernardino, right? About 120 miles, right? You'll be up there in an hour. Guess what? If you're walking to San Bernardino, you ain't going to get up there. Oh, I'm sorry. 2 hours, yeah, my bad. Not going to be driving 120 miles an hour down the road. Okay. So maybe, but they might not get there at all. Anyway, all right, here we go. So 120 miles driving is one thing. 120 miles walking? Whole different story. Can I get a witness on that? 120 miles carrying weapons? You're talking a week. You know, got to be 5 days. I mean, they could have four. You got to have something left in the tank to attack these guys, because you can't kill your guys getting them there. You're talking five. Now, do you get that from this? You know, when Arab heard that Israel, no, I mean, it's just like one sentence. There is some stuff that goes on. And then it says that from Dan, they fight them. They got a little strategy. They divide their men up. Hey, we're going to, at night, they divide. We're going to catch them in the morning. We're going to collapse on them. Fine and dandy. These are the guys. These are four kings that have been raiding all the way down the Jordan or all the way back up. These are no rookies. These are battle-tested guys. Now, they might have been beat up a little bit, but still, Abram's got 318 guys. And there is something that goes on in Abram. He's got to tell us 318 guys, we're going to go get them. Wait a minute, you're talking about Kettler? Goyim? The guys that have been killing everybody? We can take them. Well, it's his 318 trained men, right? Not only does he convince his 318 men to go, he also motivates the Amorite buddies, Mamre, Eshcol, and Aner. Now, how tough is that? We're going to go get these guys. What? They could kill us. Whoever blesses you, I will bless. Whoever curses you, I will curse. There is something going on. There is a witness that is going on in Abram's life that is causing an impact in his own household and in the people that are arrayed around him, so that they are saying, we will take our lives in our hands and trust you and follow you. That's a pretty significant witness. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. We're going to come back and we're going to take a look at how that happens. But so they get as far as Dan, and then they go up to Hobah, which is another 40 miles. You are talking battling and whooping on these four kings for another 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days. And it says they are victorious. Notice they bring back the women, because the women had all been taken. They were going to use them. They were going to sell them. It was not going to be a good thing. God is on the job. God is paying attention to Abram. Maybe God has been paying attention to you. I feel God is paying attention to us. I went to a pastor's meeting on Wednesday. I had not been at least 2 years, maybe 3 years, because we do food distribution. And I can go meet with a bunch of pastors and talk about pastor stuff. Or, man, I can be passing out food to people who need it and talking about the Lord. And it's an easy decision for me to make. But we got no food distribution now. It's a once-a-month meeting that happens per year. So I said, I'm going to go to the pastor's meeting, and I'm driving over there, and I'm going, man, what am I going to talk about with these guys? You know? And they're going to say, so how's it going? And I just start playing in my mind. You know, we have this brand new food ministry getting ready to start up, possibly serving 750 meals a week to people we have not met, and the opportunity to share the Lord. Amen? And I start getting a little bit pumped up. I said, we have a church that meets here this afternoon at 2 in Spanish, this afternoon at 5 in Spanish, Tuesday night in Spanish, and Thursday night in Spanish. We have Sunday school class in Spanish, and on Wednesday night we have a dynamic Spanish class that is going on. I was thinking about the outreach that we are doing. We have a brand new drug rehab program that is happening on Monday nights, and I start getting a little bit pumped up. Yeah! God is doing some stuff in City Heights, amen? You know, and I show up to that thing going, man, God is paying attention. Amen? And I know he's paying attention to many of your lives. So we celebrate that. Glory. All right, let's take a look. So, he comes back victorious, and they have a celebration. And they are celebrating the goodness of God. Verse 18, chapter 14 of Genesis. Then Melchizedek, say that with me, Melchizedek. Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of the Most High. Of God Most High. I changed that. Priest of the Most High God. But writer of Hebrews says, man, this guy just pops out of nowhere. He does. King of Salem. Salem, you might not have heard of Salem witch trials, all that kind of stuff. But Salem becomes Jerusalem. City of David. City of God. Now it is a city of the Amorites. It is right up there next to Hebron. Okay, Hebron is close. So you got Mamre and Eshcol and Aner. They're all Amorites. Melchizedek, Salem is all Amorites. We get to check point number two. Make sure I'm going where I'm going. Now, when you talk about King of Salem, we're talking about back in the day is what they call a city-state, that their mayor, like our mayor, would be their king, right? And each city would be its own little independent entity. So he was the king of the city of Salem, all right? And he comes out, and in addition to being king, he was a priest, right? Are you following me on this? He is a priest of what? Of the Most High God, the creator of heaven and earth. Now, there's no doubt who we are talking about, who he worships, okay? Are you tracking with me on this? Yeah. All right, I'm confused a little bit in that he's surrounded by Amorites. God has called Abram to go to this place where they don't know him. My question is, who has told Melchizedek about God Most High? There's only one guy talking about God Most High, and his name is Abram. And you think about the impact, and you think about the witness that Abram is having. And the impact. He's had impact. How does he do that? Whoever blesses you, I'll bless. And Abram moves into the area. He's got all kinds of stuff. And all of a sudden, good things start happening to who? Mamre. And Mamre starts telling his brother, hey, man, Eshcol, you got to check this guy out, man. My luck has been so good. And Eshcol comes in. And Eshcol says, hey, things are working out. Whoever, what, blesses you, I will bless. And so they tell the other brother, man, come on, come on. And word begins to spread about not Abram, but about God Most High, the creator of heaven and earth. And so Abram comes back. And there's a celebration in that last part of the call of Abram. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and the message that you bring. Amen? Amen. Have I lost you? No. All right. God's come through. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of the Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of the heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." And it was a time to celebrate. And what they had, now this valley, find out, Valley of Sheba, Valley of the King, is a valley that's right outside of Jerusalem. And it's like, hey, here comes the returning armies that are victorious. They got all the liberated slaves and everything. And Melchizedek, the king, Melchizedek, the priest, says, hey, let us celebrate not so much your victory, but the goodness of God that has brought about your victory. Amen? Are you tracking me on this? And he says, hey, let's have a celebration. Brings out the bread, brings out the wine. And it's like, Abram, you are so blessed. High five. Bam. God has just so blessed you. And how good is God that he is on the job? Amen? That he is able to deliver your enemies into your hands. That God is paying attention to you and paying attention to the challenge that you've got. And as you line up on him, he lines up on you. Amen? And what we're seeing in Abram's life, that he has come out of Egypt somehow lined up on God. And we are seeing the fruit of that lining up in Abram's life, in Eshcol's life, Mamre's life, in Melchizedek, in Anar, in all the people that are around him as they are starting to line up on the Lord as well. Amen? Amen. Blessed be God Most High. It's God that's worked this out. He says, man, you know, we read about the strategy. You got your 318 trained guys. You know, it'll be like your 318 recon guys or your Navy SEAL guys or, you know, whoever. You got your best guys. And you had your little strategy. I don't want to belittle it. You had your strategy. You divided at night and you attacked them. And you did all that. But it was God that was doing the work. It was God that was bringing the increase. Amen? Amen. The Bible says that we labor in vain. We work alone, amen? God builds a house. God's got to do the work. And so they celebrate how God has just done this miraculous thing. Lisa Gade was over the other night. And she's saying, oh, did you hear about our housing situation? No, what's going on? Well, we got a letter from our landlord raising the rent. Yeah, it's like, you're not moving to Texas, are you? And she says, yeah, man, and increase in rent is not something we're looking for, so we began to pray. Lord, what do you have? You know, what do you have for us, Lord? And miraculously, I mean, we didn't have bread and wine, but I think we had cake or something. Wasn't for that, but we were having cake. We celebrated the good. She said, oh, we got brownies. Oh, those are good, man. I had to take some extra insulin that night. But she says, "In how long was it since you got the letter from?
3 days.
3 days. They get contacted by their friend saying, hey, would you be interested in renting our house?
Oh, wow.
So she says, the house is 3,000 square feet. The house that they're in now is like 1,600 square feet. The house that their friends have has 2 acres of ground. It has a fishing pond. Oh, it has a pond that fish could be put in.
Wow.
And she says, the rent is the same.
Wow.
It is amazing. Amen? Talk about God, you know, you line up on the Lord and he lines up on. We talk about the provision that God has made. Lori was here 3 weeks ago and, oh man, my health care is so messed up. And your health care is just fine today, amen? See, God's come through in just the nick of time. Jackie was having prayer meetings with her kids back at Christmas time, and Jeffrey, 6 years old, 5 years old, saying, we need a vehicle so that we can drive around and we can be with our family. God provides a van for them, amen? Talk about Claudia. Claudia is not here. She is doing so much laundry because why? She's working 6 days a week. And the Wednesday night classes that they had, that they were started praying for a new job for Claudia, all of a sudden, God comes through. Amen?
Amen.
Uselli is looking for a house. Believe in God for a house? I'm going to pray for Uselli. Amen?
Amen?
Maybe you are here this morning, and you are believing God for a miracle. Say, Lord, someone will line up. And you need God to just, you hear the miracles that God is doing for the Gaudets and for Lori and for Jackie. And there's challenges that come. I mean,
amen.
Jackie's van ain't running, man. We got to get the van running. Hey, you know what? They had to go to battle. Amen. And then God delivered that. But if you're here this morning, you know, and you just need, you are looking for God to do a miraculous thing. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to have you move. I just want you to stand, though, right where you're at. You're saying, God, I can believe you. I have faith to believe you to do just a miraculous thing. Uselli, would you stand up? Just stand up right where you're at. You got a need. I just want you to stand right where you're at. I know some people need a place. Come on now. There you go. See, now look. You are not alone. You stay right where you're at. All right. Anybody else? Healing touch, miraculous provision, job, car, whatever. Lord Jesus, right now, across this place, Lord, you say where two or three are gathered, you are right here in our presence, Lord. I pray, Lord, by your Spirit that you would come, Lord, that you would see every need, Lord, that as Abram lined up on you, Lord, we would take a step in obedience and line up on you, Lord, and we would avail ourselves. I thank you, Lord, for the provision of this house for the Gaudets does not come through until June, Lord, that you would make that come through, Lord, for Uselli, the house that she is looking for the repairs on the vans that Jackie's looking for, and for every other situation represented here, Lord, by believing souls, Lord, and believing hearts, Lord, that you would begin to move in a mighty way. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
All right, you can be seated. This is a pretty good church, amen?
Amen.
All right. We're not even done yet. Abraham has a change in values. Then Abram gave him a tenth. We're talking about Melchizedek. Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Now, this is the first reference to the tithe in the Bible. Tithe means 10%. It's easy math. You want to come by? I'll teach it to you sometime. It's pretty easy. Now, Abram is coming back, right? And he's got all this stuff. And Melchizedek comes out and he just says, hey, take 10%. Take a tenth. This is the guy who sold off his wife to get paid in Egypt. And now he's given away money? There has been a transformation in the life of Abram. Can I get a witness on that? Now, he has just gone to war. He has just put his life on the line, and he has seen God mightily deliver his enemies into his hands. He took his buddies and said, we can do this. My God will carry us through. And he get out there, man, and you are swinging your sword, you're doing all this stuff, and you are trusting in God. All of a sudden, you come back, and how little money will have a hold on you. Amen? I mean, you got a whole new setup now. It's like, take that stuff. God is so good. God is so mighty. And this becomes foundational to the people of God. He says, you line up on me, I'll line up on you. And we struggle with that. Malachi talks about it. Go to Matthew 1, turn back one page, you'll find this. Will a man rob God? You can't rob God. You know, it's like what they call shoplifting. You know, sneak out. God knows. What you got underneath your jacket there, son? Oh, is this yours? Yes, it's mine. Well, a man robbed God, yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you, God? I'm not ripping you off. I am honoring you with my lips. I sing your praises. How do I rob you? And he says, in tithes and offerings, whoever curses you, I will curse. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, talking about Israelites, because you are ripping me off. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, talking about it, into the church. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there might be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven. Glory to God. I was on the meeting of that, the way that pastor's meeting, and I was just feeling floodgates open. Maybe not in stuff we got, but in stuff that he's doing. Amen?
Amen.
He says, I will bless you so much that you will not have enough room for it. Now, I've seen some of your places packed with stuff. I don't know if it all came from God, but you're out of room. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. And the vines of your fields will not cast. That means that your trees, you know, you go by some of these orange trees around here and you see all this rotten oranges on the ground, right? He says, hey, your fruit's going to stay on the tree until you touch it. Pop right off in your hand. He says, man, I got my eye so much on you, I'm going to keep your fruit on the tree till you want it. Is that good? He says, and then all nations, I got a witness that I want to do through you. I'm going to bless you so they'll see it. And that's what he was doing in Abram. I'm going to bless you, and these Amorites are going to come running. So much so that the king of Salem says, I have got to find out what is going on in Abram's life. And he becomes the priest of the Most High God. This is where it's going. I'm lining up on God, and God is lining up on me. Amen? Am I going too long? Are we okay? All right, I'm going off. My throat's getting a little bit sore. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land. Oh, that sounds so good, says the Lord God Almighty. You know, people are still robbing God. I don't know what you put in the plate this morning. You can get right next week. A tithe, the first fruit. When you get your check, don't rip them off. Don't rip him off, man. He's given you all of it. You want to still keep getting? Give him back a tenth. There's not a lot of bookkeeping that I do. But I tell you what, I keep close tabs on my tithe. Because I never, I shudder to be 9%. I want to hit 10 on everything. I want to line up on this. We've been in ministry a long time. We have never suffered lack. We have never suffered lack. God is good. Amen? All right, let me get us out of here. Abram has a new focus. He says, the king of Sodom, he crashes the party. Sodom is far away, man. They're right up there by Jerusalem, Hebron, Ai, all those things are up there in the mountains. That's how come they didn't get taken. Because all those invading armies, they didn't want to deal with the mountains that they were in. So Sodom, the king of Sodom, says to Abram, give me the people, give me the slaves, and I'll let you keep the stuff. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and I have taken an oath. Would you say oath with me? I have taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the thong of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abram rich. I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me to Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them have their share. Again, this is the guy who came up out of Egypt. I don't want any of it. I don't need any of it. We did not hear before, but Abram made an oath to God. He said, Lot's been taken. I'm going to marshal my men. God, protect me in this. I'm going after Lot. I don't need anything for myself. I'm just asking you for protection, Lord. I am your man. I am lined up on you. This is not for me, but this is what is right. Lord, will you go with me? And the Lord, in a mighty way, has gone with Abram. Amen? Amen. And he comes back, and the king of Sodom, which is way different than the king of Salem. Can I get a witness on that? You got city of God, and you got the city of something else. And he says, don't worry about that. You can have the stuff. I want the people. And the enemy will come to you and try to lie to you and get you to rip off God and try to not come through on the oath that we have made to God, because we have all got to that lonely place and, oh, God. And God comes through and the enemy will say, oh, don't worry about it. He wasn't really paying attention. You don't got to be lined up on him. See, God will line up on you, and he wants you lined up on him. Amen?
Amen.
Let me see where I'm at here. Oh, he says, no way you're going to ever be able to say you made me rich. I'm not going to give you a foothold on me. I'm not ever going to owe you anything, because the devil will come, the enemy will come, someone will come making an offer to you, and then they're going to say, I got you. And Abram is saying, there's only one person who's got me, and he's the creator of heaven and earth. He is God Most High, and I have raised my hand to him, and I'm going to take nothing back from you. Amen?
Amen.
Now, my question for you today, when did the change happen? This is a radically different guy. At least you can come on up. This is not the guy that we saw in Egypt in chapter 13. Selling off his wife, lying on his wife, taking money. Change happened. I think I could tell you. Because way back in Sacramento, I got changed. That I came with nothing to offer God. I came to the end of myself. And I said, oh God, you can have my life. I have totally destroyed it. And he took it. He took it up. Bible does not say. Bible does not say, but I believe that Abram came to the end of himself in Egypt, that all of his lying and all of his cheating had caught up with him, and he had no place left to go, that he had nowhere left to turn, and his wife, whom he loved and cherished, was preparing to marry Pharaoh. And God comes in and sends disease to save Sarah. God stepped in to save me. I was transformed by the grace of God.
Amen.
The unmerited favor. I had done nothing. I had done nothing to deserve an infusion of the Holy Spirit into my life. And Abram had done nothing. Nothing to deserve God to send disease into Pharaoh's household and to save him. And I think when he marched out of Egypt, he was a transformed man. Oh, God, thank you so much. How messed up could I have been? How much more messed up? There was no saving me, and you came in. Lord, I'm going to put my focus on you. Lord, that you have saved me out of the deepest and darkest pit. I believe that way back in Egypt, that God had poured out his grace on Abram and had so transformed that he could believe God to go after mighty armies. That he could line up his life on him and be a blessing to those around him. Pray with me, will you? Maybe you come in here this morning and you are in that type of a pit. That you're lying and that you're cheating has so caught up with you and it has so surrounded you, and you're just thinking, oh God, I got nowhere else to turn. I give you my life, Lord. I have destroyed it. 20 some odd years, he took that life and he breathed life into me. Perhaps you are here this morning and you feel like me, or you feel like Abram, and you are surrounded by your own sin, by your own error, your own plans have come to naught, and you are just so trapped. And you would say this morning, Lord, I give you my life. It's not worth anything. I don't even know if you want it. I've destroyed it. Is that you this morning? You say, Lord, I'll line up on you. Answer from heaven, it says, you line up on me, I'll line up on you. Nobody looking around this morning. We are in prayer, but the Holy Spirit is just speaking to your heart, and you are just getting just a crack of hope that perhaps the grace of God is real. I'll tell you it's real in my life. I'll tell you it's real. I'll share some more tomorrow night, but this morning the Holy Spirit is speaking right to your heart. You're saying, oh Lord, if there is a chance, I want it. There is a chance, Lord. I'll give you my life. Take it. It is yours. Nobody looking around. But the Lord is speaking to your heart. And this is you. This is for you this morning. I just want you to just slide your hand up and say, Lord, here I am. I give you my life. Here, there, over here. Anybody else? You're bold. Put your hand up high. Right there. I see that. Right there. Yes. Yes. Back there in the back. I see that. I see there. There. Yeah. Put your hand down once I've seen you. I ask just the worship team to come on up. We're going to sing a couple of songs. I'm probably going to have to run back there and check that soundboard. Don't be distracted by that. But Abram made an altar in Hebron. And there he worshiped the Lord. It was in response to the grace of God. Let's all stand, and I just would ask that if the Lord is speaking to you this morning, I would just ask that you would just come, just like Jason is right here. Or he's just crying. Stand, would you? We're going to worship the Lord. I just ask you to just come up and just kneel at these altars and just say, Lord, Abram had an altar. I'm going to make this an altar. I'm going to give you my life. I just ask that you put your hand up earlier. The Lord is speaking to your heart that you would just come and sacrifice your Lord. Just say, Lord, here's my life. You just kneel down and just like this. Say, Lord, here's my life. Here's my life. Here's my life, Lord. I give it to you, Lord, that you would take it up.